This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. Amid the protests against racial injustice and deadly police violence against African Americans, a local panel discussion hosted by Cincy Black Pride posed the question, do all Black lives matter? The discussion, which featured local activists, explored the impact of police and violence against LGBTQ people. Cincy Black Pride is hosting a series of virtual events this month, and this discussion was part of that programming. And joining Cincinnati Edition to pick up the conversation, our local actor, director, choreographer, and activist, Darnell Benjamin. He's on the phone with us. Darnell, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And we also have with us local author and journalist, Kareem Simpson. Kareem, thank you for being with us as well.
Not a problem. Great. Thanks for having me.
And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100 or email talk at wvxu.org or find us on Facebook or Twitter. We'll look for your comments and tweets and try to get some of those into the show as well. Darnell, let's start with a basic question about what the panel discussion was about. Do all Black lives matter? We had some discomfort here on how we were supposed to repose that question, being white. And just tell us a little bit about what that topic means.
Well, what it brings up is, when we talk about Black Lives Matter, a lot of times, generally speaking, if you're looking at the start of the movement and of that organization, it was kind of geared towards Black men particularly. And more often than not, it was straight Black men. And so what happened over the years is that there's been this focus on looking only at what's happening to Black straight men. And what the question poses is looking at all of the other people included in Black lives. Black lives is a very broad phrase. It's intentional. It's all the lives. And I think what we were trying to unpack is the questions about looking at the high rate of Black trans women being murdered, also the ignoring of a lot of times Black women being murdered. So what we're trying to do is open the question and really dig into what the larger issue is and ask, do all Black lives matter?
So Darnell, is that a question that, I mean, of course it's for everyone, but is it a question that's maybe more geared towards members of the Black community than the community at large?
I think it's kind of a mixed bag. I'd say it's across the board. Now, granted, to some degree, it is a challenge to the Black community to really look within ourselves and ask that question for sure. But it's equally a question for the white community, for the brown community, for everybody to really look at this and ask that question. So I think it's a mixture of both. But yes, I do agree that it is a call to action to our community as well.
And Kareem, what do you see as the Black community's response as this conversation broadens from the general Black Lives Matter to being more specific about the different types of Black people that exist within that subject?
I think one thing that you have to look at is that, yes, like Darnell said, that when you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, there's different sects of that population that need to be considered. And one thing I kind of see the interconnection between the Pride movement and the Black Lives movement. Yes, they're different. But remember, the Pride movement actually was led and by two trans Black women, and it came about after some similar police violence against the Black community. It came about. So that's where it interconnects. And since there are those connections, I think we would be remiss if we didn't also include the Black and brown communities of LGBTQ communities in this conversation of Black Lives Matter.
We're talking with Darnell Benjamin and Kareem Simpson. And they were part of a panel discussion hosted by Cincy Black Pride recently. And the overarching question of that panel discussion was, do all Black lives matter? And it had a focus on LGBTQ Black people as well as female Black people. Darnell, we saw in the Democratic primary for president the importance of Black voters and the way that they buoyed Joe Biden's resurgent campaign and helped him overtake Bernie Sanders to win the nomination. And within that political observation, the discussion evolved into one about what types of black voters there are. And the ones that seemed to be behind Joe Biden's resurgence were older ones who were often characterized as maybe more traditional Democrats, even more conservative Democrats than perhaps the younger black voters who might have been more engaged with the Bernie Sanders campaign. When we look at that generational divide through that political lens, is it similar to the one that we see when we try to discuss issues of gender, sexual orientation, and those sorts of issues within the overall context of Black Lives Matter?
I mean, I guess I would say that overall, there's some kind of correlation there. But, for example, I grew up in southern Louisiana, and I'm even thinking about everything going on in the world and some of the interactions I'm having on social media from people who are, yes, sometimes older than I, but also very much my age as well. Some very surprising things, but not so surprising in some ways. So I think there is a connection in terms of the generational difference, and I think that's across the board, like not even just a black thing, that's just across the board. But specifically, I'm finding it's also more of a location thing. It's more of a what is your circle like? I mean, that's always the question. What is your circle like? And if your circle only looks like you, and when I say only looks like you, I mean not just in terms of any physical attributes, but also if your social circle all does the same stuff you do, then it's going to be hard. Like, I mean, I think about, for example, whenever I go home and balancing with my family over social issues, even in terms of race, sometimes I get surprised by certain things they say, but that comes from a perspective of something extremely traditional. And this is even including, like I said, cousins of mine that are my age. They just have a way of thinking that it's very, they have... Basically, I notice my family, for example, they struggle with anything involving gender. Gender is very much a binary for them. So trans issues, they don't even understand trans as just purely by definition. So we have a lot of conversations about these things that I bring up, at least, but it usually doesn't go far because they are, unfortunately, they've kind of they're limited in their understanding, and even when you try to educate, sometimes that can be a challenge. But I would say that's more of an old school cultural view than it is necessarily black related.
Kareem, your thoughts on the same thing? Is your experience or observation similar to Darnell's?
My experience is a little bit different. My observation is kind of the same. I was lucky that I have a family that's fairly open and. They weren't necessarily transparent, but they equated kind of like being out as kind of something similar to what they went through as trying to move during the civil rights movement. I do feel that it is a generational thing where older folks tend to be a little bit more conservative. So when you bring up some of those nuanced ideas, that they tend not to take hold of them so quickly. But I do feel that, like I said, my experience was a little bit different, but I do feel that in the grand scheme of things, there is a correlation between the Pride movement and also the kind of the civil rights movement where we're all kind of searching for the same thing, and that's equality.
We're talking mm-hmm. with Darnell Benjamin and Kareem Simpson. Darnell, can you, and I hope this isn't too complex a question to pose for a radio conversation, but being a black gay man, you face the challenges that the general gay population faces, but then on top of that, you have the racism that the general black population may face, and then where those communities collide, there's also racism within the gay community. Starting with you, I'd like you both just to sort of share as best you can in a short conversation what that means to be a black gay person today.
Oh, my goodness. that is a that's a dissertation right there. But I guess I'm going to come up with some examples. How about this? Sure. And I think that'll be the best way for me to talk about it. So I'm putting my partner on blast a little bit, but he shared with me, we were looking at home videos one day, and it was a group of white friends, and it was one person who was a person of color. And that person of color, though, I can't remember what the phrasing was, but he said something, and he was ultimately about to say the word nigger. And he cut himself off, though. But everybody laughed, and it went on. And nobody, I mean, there was a sort of like, let's move on from that. Let's not really deal with it. That's one example. Then there's going to, for example, one day I went shopping. I was going to get some wine with somebody. I was on a date. This was years ago. And I watched the person at the store stare at me the whole time. Not him, me, followed me the entire time. And so I guess ultimately what I'm getting at is that it's this constant, like, double whammy all the time. And the worst part about it, I think, now granted, I would never change my blackness, my sexuality. I am a proud gay black man, hardcore. But the hardest part about it is when you're trying to communicate with people, for example, within the LGBTQ community, and particularly, I'm specifically speaking about white members and white members who are leaders, particularly when you challenge them, the hardest thing is whenever you bring up something where it's like, hey, have you thought about this? Have you considered this? It's immediately looked at as people will list off, oh, here are all the things I've done, as if there's any type of, you know, invalidating of what they've done. The goal is never to invalidate what people do. It's more of to say, okay, of all the things you've done, what are you doing right now to help this cause? What are you doing right now? And it could be a small thing. It could be a big thing. But a lot of times the challenge is that people don't want to hear that they could do more. Nobody's saying you're not doing enough, but you could always do more. And if you can, and if you choose to not, then it's like, well, there you go. That's what your stance is. So I guess for me, it becomes the exhaustion when you're black and gay and you're sitting in that intersection. It's so challenging because you're trying, like, for example, it's hard to get, for example, homophobic black members of the community to sort of understand and relate to your struggle on the gay side. And then you have with the gay community, like a lot of times, for example, I even think about what happened today with the Supreme Court ruling. What an awesome thing, right? An awesome thing that should have happened forever ago. But what usually happens when those events come into play is that the leaders, white leaders, kind of relax. And then they just sort of say, look at this win we just did. And they forget about, oh, let's look at all these black trans women who are getting murdered left and right. We're not going to talk about that. We're not going to keep pushing towards that. So I guess ultimately what I'm getting at is that it becomes this frustration over people thinking that you're asking for so much when all you're asking is to exist as comfortably as they are. It's that simple.
And Darnell just referenced the Supreme Court ruling today. And for those who may have missed this morning's news, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that federal law protects gay and transgender workers from discrimination. And Kareem, let me pose that same, I guess, long-winded question. I apologize for maybe framing a challenging question and asking for a quick response, but Darnell could handle it. I hope you can too. So Kareem.
Well, Darnell kind of hit most of the points that I wanted to hit. It's a lot about being comfortable in the space that you're existing. So being black and gay, it's very difficult because when you are existing in the black community, you still are felt as you're other because you're gay. And then when you're in, especially, and I'll take Cincinnati's kind of gay spaces, is that even though you're in the safe space being gay, but generally, a lot of times, there aren't, I'll go from personal experience, I'm the only gay person of color in that group, whether that be in a social setting, whether that be at one of the dance clubs or the bars. And Darnell hit it right on the head, is that it's exhausting to exist in those spaces where you are other. And the only way that you can get around that is to start to be included in the conversations of what it's like to be gay and black. So it's definitely exhausting. And I think a lot of black gay people of LGBT communities, they feel the same way throughout the United States. And I guess one thing, like I said, to kind of move forward is to start that conversation, like, what does that look like? How do you feel? when you're other? What can we do to make things a little bit more inclusive and welcoming, both in the Black community and in the LGBTQ community?
We'll talk more about homophobia and transphobia in the Black community and racism within the LGBTQ community with Kareem Simpson and Darnell Benjamin coming up. And later on this hour, we'll hear from some of the young local activists taking their message to the streets. Local teens will be with us who have participated in the recent protest across the region. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition On Demand. Did you know you can have the show delivered straight to your smartphone every day? Just go to your favorite podcast listening app, search Cincinnati Edition, and subscribe. You'll be able to keep up with all our great conversations with newsmakers, public officials, and other interesting people from the greater Cincinnati region and beyond on the go, anytime, anywhere. It's great for those days you can't tune in to catch us live. Weekdays at noon on 91.7 WVXU. And this is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We continue our look at all Black lives with local actor, director, choreographer, and activist Darnell Benjamin. Darnell, thank you so much for staying with us.
Thank you for having us.
And local author and journalist Kareem Simpson. Kareem, thanks to you as well.
Not a problem.
513-419-7100 is the number to call if you'd like to join our conversation or email your comments to talk at wvxu.org. Darnell, I want to talk a little bit more about racism in the LGBTQ community because you do see a lot of support right now for the Black Lives Matters idea and the protest from what might be easily described as white gays. And I know that white gays are often the focus of some tweets or social media posts and unflattering lights for this or that behavior that they might engage in socially. One thing that I'm observing on social channels as it relates to white gays is that the support that's being offered in some areas, certainly not by all, but in some cases, it's somewhat selfish is the way that it's perceived, that maybe they post a what's called a thirst trap. You know, it's sort of a shirtless pic or something that then has the hashtag BLM or something along those lines. What is the message that should be relayed to just the typical traditional white gay guy who passively supports the idea that Black Lives Matters, but may also engage in either microaggressions or all-out racism when it comes to their social lives?
Mm-hmm. It happens a lot. And, you know, what's really unfortunate is I think about recently, so Cincinnati Magazine put out this article about prominent LGBTQ leaders. And I looked at that and I was kind of like, it was in the midst of everything happening with George Floyd and Breonna Taylor. And I made a post about it on social media, and I basically talked about how I sent a call to action, a challenge to the leaders to be more inclusive, because all the events that we're looking at as far as Pride is concerned were very much the same things that have been happening for the longest. And I couldn't wrap my head around why not one person thought, oh, you know what? We should figure out how to be more inclusive of the Black community that are in the LGBTQ community. And I posted that, by the way, with no intention to attack anybody. It was more of a challenge. Hey, what can you do more? And I noticed immediately the reaction from one of the leaders was to attack and to list all the things that person has done. And all I kept thinking was, this is the problem. Here I am opening the door to a discussion. I asked questions. I wanted to open the door to see if we can move into something that's more inclusive. And instead, I was met with a pushback. And I find that happens a lot. And I think it's because, you know, within every community, you look at, for example, the overall hierarchy in America. We can ignore it. We can pretend like it doesn't exist, but it very much exists. And so, of course, within the LGBTQ community, it's going to be the cis white man who's ultimately at the top. And what happens a lot of times is that whenever you are a queer person of color who says, hey, you can do more, you really can do more, or do better even. And the reaction a lot of times is this sort of pushback. And I think some of that has to do with people feeling like, well, I've done my part. And I'm like, But we didn't stop doing our parts until we got marriage equality. And I can't understand sometimes why we can't keep pushing till we get to the finish line of other issues involving people within the community. And so I guess ultimately what I'm getting at is that a lot of times I think people just feel like they've done their part. They can put a little check mark and move on. And the reality is that we know these issues in the country, whether it's racism, whether it's homophobia, it's so deeply embedded that we have to keep working. And the reality is that the people who are leaders in LGBTQ communities, and oftentimes they are white, those people, really, you've chosen that position. You've worked towards that position. Now do the work. That's what I always say, do the work.
And Kareem, one of the themes that emerged during the panel discussion that prompted our conversation today, the panel discussion that was hosted by Cincy Black Pride, talked about that hierarchy. And can you build upon that conversation a little bit and help people understand what exactly that represents and its impact on the current conversations that we're having in society?
Yeah, I think specifically in the greater Cincinnati area is that when you think of gay or you think of lesbian, you think of the LGBT community, or specifically Pride celebration, you think just the kind of larger the Pride conversation. And Darnell said it correctly, is that when a prominent area magazine kind of depicts the leaders or lists out the leaders of the LGBT community, and it's not inclusive of those that are the Black and brown community, that makes a person like me, or it makes a young person, young Black person or a brown person in the gay community say, well, I guess we're not good enough to make a list. We're not able to be on that same level, which is not correct. There are a lot of people that aren't on that list that definitely should be on their list, but there's a lot more African-American people in the Black and brown communities in the gay community that should definitely be on their list and have been doing things longer. Maybe not at the same level, but then we start to get into that institutional racism that didn't allow them to achieve the level of success to make them on that list. So it's kind of like it kind of goes full circle. Just for example, with the cancellation of our Pride celebration, there were zero mention to what is Cincinnati Black Pride doing. And we actually pivoted and went on and made it all virtual so we can continue that conversation, especially in a time of this civil unrest.
Darnell, we've seen some conversations certainly recently about Confederate flags, but one area where if you want to see a social media thread take off in all kinds of terrible directions, posed a question about the rainbow flag and the proposed addition in an official capacity of a black and brown stripe on that. I'd like your perspective on that. It is traditionally Pride Month. I know a lot of events have been postponed since the Black Pride, of course, is going virtual June 25th through the 28th. But there must be some motivation for people of color in the LGBTQ community to feel like they're not represented even by all the colors of the rainbow in that flag. And then just the pushback that usually emerges when such a suggestion is made.
Mm-hmm. I remember I'm not one to cry from joy very often, you know. That's not something I do. But I remember when the black activist, and it was a woman in Philly, when she first did that black and brown stripe on the flag, I remember being like so overwhelmed by that. Just that image, the image of being forced to look at something so, especially when, you know, the flag is so colorful and seeing like this black and brown, like just those two strong hues that are so familiar to me and my body and my life. I remember being so incredibly moved by that. And thinking about the long history of what the flag meant from the beginning, and thinking about what all the colors meant. And I remember all the pushback from, it was actually a lot of white gay men who were the ones who were particularly fighting against it, because they were talking about tradition. And the whole time, they sounded everything like basically the people who would be against the pride flag in general. I was just hearing all kinds of things like traditional history, and I'm like, oh my gosh, okay, can we open that door? And now looking at now how they're playing, like even putting in the black and the brown stripes with the trans flag, and I'm thinking, all I keep thinking is that, like, why is the pride flag now not all of those things all in one? I think it should. And the reason why I think that why it's important is because it ultimately gives visibility. It makes a very clear statement to say these are all a part of this unit. So for me, I mean, I think there's nothing more exciting than the idea and the thought of moving forward with a pride flag that is truly visually inclusive. And I think that visual does affect the psyche. I do think it affects how people look at it, because look how many people have gotten really upset about it over the time of that happening. So it says something.
And Kareem, it also must say something that there is a Cincy Black Pride, that there is a separate organization that looks to celebrate the lives of LGBTQ people of color. And I'm hoping that maybe you could tell us a little bit about the motivations behind that.
Yeah, we just wanted to make sure, just very similar to Black Lives Matter, we are trying to kind of bring back the Cincinnati Black Pride to say that, yes, we are proud of being gay and lesbian, but we wanted to carve out our own space. And I think that was the large motivation of bringing it back several years ago. It was started and then kind of disbanded, and then this is the second annual event. Like I mentioned before, we're going all virtual this time, and we're having a lot of different things like community forums. And also, we're also giving out awards, which is called the Vizazi Awards. And those awards go to people in the black and brown gay community that have stepped up in their community. In addition, we're going to have a lot of different things, kind of like a multi-generational music event with a lot of DJs in different parts of Cincinnati. And it's all virtual. Some of those are ticketed, but most of them are free, so that people can kind of carve out their space and be, and this might be the first time for a lot of people, people in the black and brown community that are gay, it might be the very first time that they're actually in a space where it's with people that look like them and people that feel like them. And that's a very, very powerful thing to those that have never been in that type of space before. So we're glad to starting it next week is when events kick off, and people can get a little bit more information at CincinnatiBlackPride.com.
Cincinnati Black Pride 2020 takes place June 25th through the 28th in a virtual fashion. CincinnatiBlackPride.com is the website. You can find a link at WVXU.org inside the Cincinnati Edition tab, where you'll find the podcast version of this conversation. You'll also find a link to the panel discussion, Do All Black Lives Matter?, which prompted our segment here today with Kareem Simpson and Darnell Benjamin. Kareem, Darnell, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us. We're so appreciative.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
And you've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer of today's show is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstro. Our theme music is composed by Rob Fetters. You can find archives of our program online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.